Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
How are we doing out there as we head into the happy hour? Final hour of Gwen and Chris on this Tuesday, 5:01 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Scraby will be along for the Scraby Chronicles coming up between 6 and 7 o'clock this evening. Quite a few things to update you on if you're just tuning in. College football playoff poll, first of the year, is out. And so... I love when you do.
So now I get, Chris was like, here, I can't read his writing. So now I do something nice and I put Buffalo Wild Wings and he's making fun of
me. I can barely see that.
He's like,
it interrupted me right in the middle of a sentence.
Well, you usually never look.
That's right.
That quick.
That's why I don't. 5 o'clock hour. The 5 o'clock football hour?
Yep.
Oh, I'm talking about.
It doesn't
college.
Matter.
Oh, that's football.
Just go.
The 5 o'clock football hour is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. Visit Buffalo Wild Wings every... Don't interrupt! Visit Buffalo Wild Wings every... In fact, I have to start over now.
I'm going to turn off my mic.
No, visit Buffalo Wild Wings every Tuesday. Buy one, get one half off.
All right, let's talk Mike Schilt.
Traditional wings. All right, Mike Schilt and then the college football playoff poll. Which is the first of the year. But before that, Mike Schilt. Yes, because he's going to be the manager of the Padres for two more years. Kevin Acey reporting that the Padres and Schilt are nearing an agreement to extend him through 2027.
Shout out to Mike.
Shout out to the job Mike Schilt did. He won everybody over, I think, by the time this season had passed.
I have an immense amount of respect for Mike. Watching him in year one of his managerial job, he manages like his game seven every night. I don't know if you guys have ever seen him after a game, the press conference.
Worn out?
He looks like he was out there playing himself. And I respect that, man. And I think that's probably why at times he comes off a little...
Salty.
Ornery, however you want to place it.
Perturbed.
Perturbed at times. I don't know if perturbed. That's, I don't know if that's a good one. Irked might be a little.
No,
I don't think that's the
strong
way. Yeah.
But either way, he's a gamer, man. He's a competitor. I respect that, too. I got 3 years now with the two-year extension. I would like by the end of the third year, Mike Schilt knows who I am a little bit better and is willing to put up with my... interesting take on questions as we move forward. Because my first interview with him this year, it didn't go great. I mean,
I don't think it went bad.
It wasn't bad, but I want to do better.
I think you first of all, your first, I think it wasn't the first one, right? I think
no,
it was
that
like,
was my first.
You
one.
And I did the first.
Oh,
one.
Oh, that's right.
So
it was
he
the second
him
one.
Only in the postseason.
Yeah, we didn't get to interview.
That's a different.
See, during the year we didn't get to interview him because he's always on the morning show.
It's a different animal in the postseason, right? Because you're playing the same team. You kind of know all of this. It's not like a different series and different things pop up like you do in a regular season and allow for space for different types of questions. It's pretty much you know what's coming. You know what it is. It's the same team. You've been playing each other. So I just think you get a little more intense version at that point.
Well, I think Mike Schilt is a prove-it-to-me guy when it comes to interviewing him. He wants to know the person asking the questions is legit.
Yep.
One of my goals is to get to where he thinks I'm legit.
I don't think that bringing
I don't know
up,
if I'll make it, but I'm going to try.
I don't think that when you asked him if he pulls his lineup out of a hat, if that was a if that was a good way into
you
his
You don't
heart.
Think that helped me?
No, but he did laugh. He did laugh. Although I was like, can I go home, please? This is bad.
I wasn't just asking him to pull his lineup out of a hat for a regular game. It was for, like, the championship series.
It was.
Yeah.
And I was like, kind of respect Chris for going in like this, but I want to leave.
Yeah, I was definitely leading with my chin there, but I survived okay.
Is the word? Do you think someone asked me this over the weekend, and I thought it was really kind of funny? Is the word roller coaster going to be banned in post game press conferences going forward?
I don't know.
Take some guts.
Here's the thing. I think we all have been educated to his frame of mind, right? And it turned out to him, the signs he was seeing from his ball club was not of a roller coaster. Now, for us, on the outside looking in, it certainly felt like
we're just
that.
Strictly looking at the win loss.
You got two here, you got two there, you got a win here, you got a loss there. Kind of felt like that. But in the end, he turned out to be accurate that the team was moving in the right direction. They created a lot of good habits, and those habits got them, you know, to a closeout game, two closeout games of the Dodgers in the division series. They came up a little bit short, but I'm just hopeful for the first time. You know, I kind of hope this after the 22 season, but a lot of different things popped up, right? And the 23 season was the World Baseball Classic, right? Did that with all that stuff happen?
Yes.
So an uninterrupted spring training that followed although it ended disappointing, a pretty productive 24 season as a whole. And you just hope they can build on it. I think this could be like the first time where no interruptions, assuming, you know, health is right, that they can kind of just build on a lot of the good habits they created in 24.
How much do you think the trip to Korea affected the team?
Clearly it didn't. I mean, they played...
Not long term, but like in the short term. Because they started slow.
I don't think it would have mattered, honestly. Because they didn't start slow. They started 5-hundo. They just stayed there pretty much all first half.
They went one above, one below, right. One above, one below.
They might have got two above.
It was a roller coaster, but Mike Schilt recognized it really wasn't going to be a roller coaster.
Right.
So he corrected us, and in the end, he was correct.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to have the benefit of the doubt going forward on that.
Over under 20 games before I'm concerned about the team next year.
Way under.
I'm going to try really hard to not. I don't know if I could do a Tony thing and go to September before I'm worried.
You don't know. You know why? Is because, you know, you jump in there with everybody else. You know,
I do. I'm a fan.
Game ends. You go to Twitter and you jump into that pool of uncertainty and many theories.
And they need to fire this guy,
right? And then it just gets your head twirling.
Twirling is a good way of describing it. I'm going to try really hard next year.
I'm not just going to even say over under 20 games, Scrabe. I'm going to predict a date for you.
Okay.
There's five games going to be played next year before April 1st. You will panic before then.
All right, I'm going to put this in my phone so we can remember this.
This is going to be great.
Because they open with four
happen.
Games at home against Atlanta, one at home versus Cleveland. The best they're going to be is 4-1.
So what's
which
the
means
date?
After one loss somewhere in there, you're going to be upset and panicking.
So April
1st? They play one game? You say one game?
No, they play five games in March before April 1st.
Oh, I got you.
One four game. Against Atlanta, one against Cleveland before April 1st. I say that Scraby will have panicked by then.
Not even into April yet.
No, I don't think Scraby will make it to April.
Hey, Google, remind me on April 1st, 2025 at 10 a.m. that I will panic.
To see if you've panicked.
There we go.
Yet.
All right.
I'll remind you on April 1st, 2025.
Thank you.
That can't wait.
That will really happen?
Yes, that's why. Honestly, I don't know how people live before reminders on their phone because I am not one of those people.
If I was driving along at 10 a.m. on April the 1st and Google came yelling out at me from the middle of the car, hey! Have you panicked yet about the Padres? I would get in an accident.
It probably will take me a second to realize what it is, and then I'll remember.
That might freak you out.
I set alarm or reminders all the time.
I don't know.
All right, so Mike Schilt is back. Here's the college football playoff rankings. Oregon number one. If the playoff were today, Oregon would face the winner of the 9-8 game between BYU and Indiana. Interesting thing about that quadrant of the playoff, all three of those teams are undefeated. Mm-hmm. Oregon, Indiana, and BYU. Number two is Ohio State. They will play the winner of Tennessee Notre Dame as it stands now. Number three, Georgia would play the winner of Penn State and Alabama. I would have a lot of trouble rooting for anybody in that grouping. And number four is the Miami Hurricanes, and they would play either Texas or Boise State. And, you know, I was looking at you asked.
Wait, the Canes are three. Yeah.
Not okay. Wait, let me.
Oregon's one, Georgia's two, Canes are three, BYU four.
No.
He says no.
Whoa.
Hey, look, Tony, on TV they have Chris playing baseball.
Our hearty heart.
That's from like 1892.
Well, no, college football playoff rankings.
You're right. On the bracket, yes. They have it flip-flop. They have BYU 4, Miami 5.
No, BYU's 9. I don't know what they're doing with their bracket. Well, maybe the bracket's different than the rankings.
Maybe this is the projected
bracket.
Yeah, is projected.
So, okay, BYU. Oh, because, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's all too confusing. Look, the 12 thing, look it up, figure it out. Boise State would be 12 as of now. And as Tony said, you know, whoever they play in the first round.
You know what they did?
They only lost to Oregon by 3 points earlier this year, Boise State. So
I think what just happened is whoever put the graphic together might have just flip-flopped the...
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out when the time comes.
You're saying I put the graphic together. I mean, it could be you at this point.
NFL trade deadline came and went today. The Cowboys are taking... Well, not the Cowboys. Jerry Jones is taking endless... For acquiring a wide receiver by the name of Jonathan Mingo from Carolina and being stupid enough to send a fourth-round pick to the Panthers. The reason people say that's stupid is because the Chiefs only had to send a fifth-round pick to get All-Pro DeAndre Hopkins.
Who immediately paid dividends.
Immediately did all right last night with two touchdowns, 8 for 86. Ravens got Deontay Johnson a little earlier, also for a fifth-round pick. But Jerry decided to go ahead and offer the fourth-round pick just to get Jonathan Mingo, whoever he is.
This trade makes zero sense.
It makes no sense.
Nobody agrees.
They don't have a quarterback. They're desperately hanging on to their season.
They got Trey Lance.
They don't have a quarterback.
Hey, the Trey Lance experience needs to start right now.
This is the time.
It never needs to start.
No, it definitely does because now we get to find out if your boy messed up again.
If you're trying to save your season because Dak Prescott's going to be on IR, I believe, which means he's out for the next four games, you're putting your hand or you're putting your season into Cooper Rush's hands.
Yeah, go ahead and
it's not going to be Trey Lance.
Let Trey Lance play. You got to find out if he can play.
I think we already know.
The other trades were a couple of cornerbacks. So Marshon Lattimore went to Washington today. The Ram kid went. What was his name? Trey White. Went to
the Ram kid. I'm thinking of a guy with a ram horn.
Yeah. Sorry. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I got you. I do. I will say this.
Lest me not memorize every one of those guys' names.
Baseball trade deadline, a million miles ahead of the football trade deadline. You don't get the stories like you do in baseball.
This year.
Most years.
I'm just saying.
Didn't Christian McCaffrey move around this time? Couple years ago?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly when it happened.
It was 2 years ago. He got traded to the Niners.
I'm going to look this up when it happened.
Deadline time.
Okay. Maybe.
One other baseball note, Shohei Ohtani, shoulder surgery after the labrum dislocation. Joel Embiid suspended 3 games for shoving the columnist. Those are the big stories of the day.
I don't know why that's funny, but it's not funny, but it is kind of funny.
He's a little too big to, you know.
I mean, look, as Tony said, Joel Embiid has to be, you know, the pro here.
He does.
But I don't have to be the pro here. And next time, I hope Joel shoves him harder for that stupid
October
thing.
October 20th.
He wrote.
So, yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm talking about deadline day. Deadline day doesn't compare to baseball at all.
Not always. No. Sometimes.
Will you guys just agree with me?
Sure, Scrib. I've done a study on
Jeez.
It. You're 100%.
You Steelers did get Mike Williams, Rod. And did you hear that Aaron Rodgers was on Pat McAfee when that trade went down? And
what
he seems to be on Pat McAfee a lot when things happen. We can pull up the audio if you guys want it on the other side.
I think that's a good reason to dislike Aaron Rodgers. Among the many.
Because
the fact that he has made us have to put up with the star that is now Pat McAfee.
That
would have never happened if it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers going on his show every week.
I think Pat was coming.
You
think?
Yeah.
You think even without Aaron Rodgers, that was the only way he was getting attention for 2 years?
Nah, he's a wild man. Like, he don't need Aaron Rodgers to get attention. Like, he does that all on his own.
I will respect your authority there because I don't watch him. So
Authority.
All right. This is not me.
Who invented that line? Respect
Cartman.
My authority.
Of course it was Cartman.
For
one, for people out
for
there, Cartman from
Eric
South Park.
Cartman from South Park.
Chris's favorite characters in all of TV is Cartman, right?
Cartman right up there with Columbo and Sam Malone.
Cartman, Columbo, and Sam Malone. That is a collection.
I would also have to put Walter White pretty high on the list. And
now, that is a collection now.
Walter White. And not Breaking Bad. What's the other show?
I don't know.
Better Call Saul.
Oh, yeah.
Saul Goodman.
That was the playoff of
Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Both shows, I think, are amazing. All right, more Gwen and Chris after track.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
My two cohorts here, I think, are going to have some issues with this next sound we're going to play. Mike Williams, who was in the crosshairs of Aaron Rodgers earlier in the season where he didn't run the right route at the end of a game, according to Mr. Rodgers.
It was the worst throw you've ever seen, and you'd have to agree.
But he said it was the wrong
route. He was
route.
In the wrong lane.
He was where
in the
was
wrong
he
lane.
He was
supposed to go
the
up.
The throw
he
was 10 yards short of him, though.
He was in the wrong lane, Chris.
Chris,
that's what Aaron
not,
Rodgers said.
Do not question the quarterback. He was supposed to be running on the numbers.
I cannot believe that Mike Williams even had one pass directed his way by Aaron Rodgers.
Well, here's...
He won't have any more.
He happened to be on... what's my man's name? Pat McAfee, Aaron McAfee, happened to be on Pat McAfee's show when the trade went down.
Now, I will say Pat McAfee delivered the news. Aaron Rodgers just kind of nodded his head like, okay.
Okay. Is that your interpretation of the nod?
Yes. It wasn't a big thing. I just want everybody
to know it's Scraby's interpretation of the nod.
It wasn't a big thing. It wasn't like he was like, oh, no, and like, you know, but here it is. Here's Aaron Rodgers talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike's a quiet guy. Just kind of goes about his business. You know, Mike had a rough injury last year, ACL. It's tough to come back from. And he worked his ass off all offseason. Wasn't around for a lot of training camp. He's working on the side. But I felt like, you know, he was getting better throughout the early part of the season when he was – you know, it felt like his speed was getting better and he was feeling more comfortable with it. That's a tough injury. I had that injury, and it's the mental part that takes the longest. But, you know, Mike's a good guy. He'll be good in that locker room. Obviously, he had a lot of great veteran leadership. He's had a nice career. And sometimes change of scenery is great for certain guys. I mean, she was great for me. It was fun kind of get re-enthused and stuff. And you know, we kind of knew with Devontae coming in that there'd be less targets for everybody because, you know, G's leading league in targets. He's going to get his targets, and Tay's dynamic player. He's going to get his targets. So if this gives Mike more opportunities, that's awesome. And we wish Mike well.
Pause that. Scrape right there. Don't see what it says under his name.
Yes. Super Bowl champ, four-time NFL MVP, ayahuasca enthusiast.
See, that's why I love Pat McAfee. He's definitely going to take his shots, even at his boys.
Even at his own guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is trying to give an honest answer, and under his name, and it says ayahuasca enthusiast.
He is, though. He would tell
I'm
him
not
he is.
Saying he's not, but it's just kind that's of a funny thing to put in there.
Especially underneath the Super Bowl champ, four-time MVP.
He's wearing a hat from San Diego, Juega House Athletic Association.
Does he not live in this neck of the
woods? I think he used to. I think he sold his house.
He frequents this place
often.
Okay, Scraby, you take issue with his soundbite, a sound alike, during the break.
He sounds like a GM. He sounds like not a teammate, not a player, but he sounds like a GM when he's already got his thing all figured out. Like sometimes a player, sometimes going to a new senior.
I think here's the question: is what is it that a player? Because you said he sounds like a GM. What is a player supposed to sound like in that spot?
I would think a player would talk more about. I know you're putting me on the spot here. I should have had a better way of describing
this. I'm just asking. You seem to take issue with his
I just took issue that it's so nonchalant. And at the end, he is like a GM delivering news to the media. Oh, there's not a lot of targets to go around. So this guy's going to get his targets. And a change in scenery is going to be good for this guy. He doesn't talk to him like a teammate. He talks to him like a superior. It's not even about what he was somber. He was somber. It's more like that he is talking like he is making these decisions rather than the organization.
When Tony said you were going to be mad about what he said, I thought he was going to say something like, you know, Mike Williams doesn't even run the right routes, so we're happy to get him out of town.
I would actually have loved
that. That would be more accurate, probably. But I thought his answer was pretty good, actually. Okay. And I think he just explained to people, you know, what happened with Mike Williams or the Jets. He was complimentary to the guy battling back from an injury. I think he was maybe a little more political than normally he is. He didn't want to say anything to ruffle feathers.
Maybe he's learning.
He accomplished that.
Maybe he's learning.
All right, maybe I went a little too far on this.
Yeah, I think he was all right with that one. I'm waiting to get on his case.
That's why I was happy to hear that from Chris.
Both of you guys
aren't necessarily the biggest Aaron Rodgers fans.
No.
Yet you had two different perspectives on that.
I'm a fan
soundbite.
Of Aaron Rodgers in one category.
What's that?
For some reason, he can co-host Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah.
He was good at that. He wasn't just mediocre.
I remember you saying that.
He was good at it. Yeah.
You know, there's nothing like your take falling flat in the air, and then you just think about it for the next
12 hours. I mean, you should be kind of used to that. Your take sometimes.
When I watched it this morning,
you should be used to that. That almost got past me there.
When I watched it this morning, I was like, oh, this could be great for the show. This is going to be such good fodder. And then I re-listened to it, and it's not that big of a deal. Although he does sound very presidential-like and
I mean,
GM-like.
You don't, he's an ayahuasca enthusiast. This is how you come into those situations.
And a cayenne pepper enthusiast now.
Yeah. Now.
All right. Well, that was a waste of a segment. I'm sorry, everybody.
It's okay. It got us.
No, no, no. Anything
it
that opens us up
it, baby.
To criticize you, I think, is a solid segment.
All right. Let's step away. Let's get to break. We'll finish things up when we return. Earlier, Mark Ziegler joined us to talk a little bit of Aztec basketball. You get a chance to hear that as well right here on Gwen and Chris.
Free agency is now open in Major League Baseball. What are the Padres going to do? We'll let you know what we think on Tuesday's show.
Annie and Elston, weekdays from 10 to 2.
5:35 on a Tuesday evening here. Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scravey, Tony Gwynn Jr.
Somewhere out there.
Yeah, he's somewhere out there.
I wish he would listen to things when he's out of the studio.
Maction is going on right now. Classic matchup here between Ball State and Miami, Ohio. 7-7, first quarter. A score you just had to have. And so it is you have it. Tony, have you... I was just asking Scravey, because I always joke about Lieutenant Columbo and the television show Columbo. And I actually asked Scravey if you've ever seen one before. He said, no.
Columbo?
Have you ever seen a Columbo?
Yes, I have.
And would you say thumbs up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to find an episode for Scravey to go back and watch. He's never actually seen one. I think it really is a good show. I like it more than most, but...
I can't remember... You know, I recently... Last year moved to YouTube TV, and there is a channel that has Columbo that comes on. I just don't know which one it is. I've watched a couple episodes. It's good.
Yeah, it's quite good.
All right, I'll
try to find one for you.
I don't know if that's kind of... I honestly don't know if that's Scraby's cup of tea.
He likes there's no blood necessarily.
And, yeah.
I don't need
There's
blood.
No horror.
I just need death.
Yeah, and
there's
I don't know
death.
There's some death in
no,
there.
No, somebody dies every time somebody dies.
Yeah, somebody has to die.
Yeah.
I'll check it out because I like, I guess CSI is the wrong.
The way he unravels the crime.
If you're comparing Columbo to CSI, you're going to be disappointed.
Oh, there was a show named Monk. Have you guys ever heard of that?
I remember
Monk was
Monk,
quite
USA.
Good.
Yeah, that was
AM
good.
He was a quirky character. Columbo was very quirky.
I'll check it out. I have no problem checking it out. As long as Chris watches whatever I need him to watch one day.
It's Columbo is like a mix of Monk and Magnum. Like that kind of same. He's
but I
quirky,
don't know.
But he got a little toughness to him.
I don't know that there's ever been a crime show, though, where they give you the crime in the first segment of the show. You see who commits the murder right away.
Yeah.
They don't. He then unravels it, but in almost every other crime show I've ever seen, somebody gets murdered, and then you don't get told who it is till the end.
Do you remember the movie Minority Report?
Of course.
So they briefly had a TV show called Minority Report where they would start it the same way. You got to see the crime first, and then they would work backwards.
Work it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll check out Columbo. I have no problem checking out Columbo.
Here we go with... Aztec basketball, one of my favorite times of the year. I'm always a little, you know, kind of just down and out, lonely feeling when baseball season's over and, you know, you have all these days in between Sunday football.
It's very sad, Chris.
It is. But thankfully, you know, Brian Dutcher and these kids, they have, and of course my women's team. But, you know, the Aztec men's basketball has given us so much the last, what is it now? Going on 10 years,
yeah,
12
10 years,
right? Where they've just been really good. I mean, the first tournament they made was 2010 or 11, Sweet 16. So
I was about to say,
that's 13, 14 years. No, but yeah, I mean, the Sweet 16,
yeah.
Kawhi Leonard, you guys, yeah, those 13, 14 years, and it's been good ever since and never better than the last couple of years. But how will it be this year? Aztecs start tomorrow night against UC San Diego, a team that nearly beat them last year. Good crosstown game. Mark Ziegler gave us some insight, and we'll hear it after traffic.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danick.
Ooh, scary stuff driving home in the dark, guys. In all these accidents, especially in the North County, northbound 5 before Del Mar Heights Road, there's a collision involving a couple vehicles. They're over to the right shoulder, and we still have this crash up ahead before the 78 blocking the slow lane. Northbound side of the 15 before the 56, there is a collision involving a semi that may have hit
part of the overpass. That's in the HOV lane. Watch out for some debris in the roadway. Now, further north on the 15 before the 78 got a collision blocking the slow lane. Now, traveling on westbound 8 just before the 125, there's a collision involving several vehicles. It's all over the right shoulder. Northbound side of the 15 past Market Street, collision blocking middle lanes. Motorcycle involved in
the Aztecs in action tomorrow against UCSD. We've got our guests to talk a little bit about our Aztecs. Mark Ziegler joins us, Union Tribune. And Mark, how are you today, first and foremost? How's your day going?
It's going okay. I mean, can't complain. We're in November. We got a little Santa Ana going. I voted, so all's good.
All's good. All's good.
You're
all
a good American, Mark. You're a good American. I've always said that.
Mark, obviously the Aztecs coming off of a pretty good showing against in the exhibition game. They get ready for tomorrow's game against UCSD. How is this basketball team feeling going into tomorrow's game?
You know, I think after the closed door scrimmage against UCLA and then the open door exhibition against Cal State San Marcos, some of the questions around this team were answered. I mean, I think there was a lot of concern among fans and among maybe even among some of the coaches, just so much newness and so many young guys and, you know, what's that going to look like? And I think they were pleasantly surprised. Now, can they carry that over into a pressure-packed season opener, full house, that will probably be a lot closer and it's going to require some pressure plays to be made? We'll see. But I think people have been pleasantly surprised with how quickly this team has progressed, how well they're playing defense, how together they are, how long and athletic they are, and how much potential they seem to have. So far, so good, but this, you know, as we know from last year's game, can be a stumbling block.
Yeah, last year, UCSD, by all rights, probably should have won that game against the Aztecs until Jaden Ledee rode to the rescue. And obviously, Mark, that's not going to be happening this year. How, in general, is Brian Dutcher and company planning to make up not only just for the points of Jaden Ledee, but just the offense running through Jaden Ledee last year? Where are they going to go, especially with Reese Waters starting the season hurt?
You know, I think, you know, you have two choices, and one is to just kind of have the same system, find another guy to stick in that spot and kind of feature him there. But the other, I think they realize there is no more Jaden Ledee's on this roster. And the other option is just to retool everything and make it a different offensive approach that better suits your personnel. And that's what they've done or tried to do. It's a much more free-flowing team. You'll hear the coaches, you know, yelling at them to play multiple sides of the floor, to stretch the defense, to swing the ball quicker, to move the ball quicker, something we didn't really see the last few years with Matt Bradley and Jaden Ledee. Understandably so. I mean, those guys are very good one-on-one players. You got them the ball, you got them in the right spots, you got out of the way. This is going to be much more equal opportunity, and so we're going to see a lot of different guys scoring. I mean, Nick Boyd, I think, will have a good season and will, you know, could be a leading scorer. So could Miles Byrd when Reese Waters comes back. He's a candidate. You know, Magoon Gwath could have big games. Jared Coleman-Jones has the offensive skills to have big games. And you just keep going from there. And Wayne McKinney has proven it at USD. He can have big games. And so I just think you're going to see a different leading scorer every night, and just much more equal opportunity.
Mark Ziegler joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Mark, oftentimes as we've watched this Aztec program, there's like a steady improvement throughout the course of the year, but they kind of hit their stride come, you know, January, around that time frame. You start seeing them play kind of the brand of basketball we're used to seeing them play. Now, with all of the things that you've discussed, this being not really having a go-to guy, so to speak, with a guy like Reese Waters out, do you expect that kind of progress to look a little different this year?
Yeah, I still think they'll be, you know, their typical peaking in January, February, March, that type of thing. I think they'll be way better. I think you'll see some signs right now of what they can do. But where I think the real question is going to become is when they play close games. We'll see how many close games they play. You never know. But when they play close games, who has the ball in those situations? Who's the go-to guy? What's the play? Can they get a basket when you need one? Can they get a stop when you need one? And those are things you can't answer till you play games. And so that's, you know, to answer your question, we really won't know. I mean, I'm you know, the next step for this team now is to see this team in pressure situations. It's one thing when you're blowing out Cal State San Marcos by, you know, it was 80-39. I mean, those guys were down 11-0. They couldn't score. You knew they were going to win, and everyone's much looser and freer. But, you know, you saw it last year at UCSD. When that game tightened up, so did the Aztecs, because in the back of their minds, like, oh, my gosh, we cannot lose this game. This would be a huge embarrassment for us, given our stature. And UCSD is a very capable team. They're going to be hover around the 100 mark in KenPom. They're picked third in the Big West. They finished second last year. They got three key returnees back. They got some decent transfers, guy from Oregon State. They got Chris Howell, the Torrey Pines guy who played at St. Mary's. They got some guys. And so what's going to happen when they're in that pressure situation? And that will sort of answer, I think, the questions about how quickly this team will progress. They've got to go through that, figure that out. And if it's a seamless transition, if it's Nick Boyd and he just says, look, I'm taking over, and he does it, then no problems. But if they struggle to kind of, they're all standing out there looking at each other, saying, I don't want the shot, you take it, then it's going to be a longer progression.
Aztecs and UCSD tomorrow night, Wednesday, the season opener at Viejas Arena. I loved your story the last week about the new assistant coach asking Dutch and the rest of the guys how many people would be at the exhibition game, and suggesting maybe there'd be 200 or 300 people there. And they told him, oh, no, there'll be 10 or 11,000. And so it was. It was like sold out almost for an exhibition. Is there any time where we still should maybe shake our head at just how high of a stature this Aztec program has reached, how amazing this all is, you know, their success in the tournament the last 2 years, and how much fun we all are having?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see as this goes on, because winning is just expected now, right?
Yeah.
You know, going to the tournament, losing the first round is a bad season now. And that's probably unfair to any college basketball program, given how much parity there is and how much things are changing, and particularly for a program that's not in a power conference. And I'm interested to see if fans, particularly the guys like us who've been around a long time, remember those bad old days, if they still have that appreciation for it. Or at the first hint of you know, disappointment, do they turn on the team and say, oh, this team's no good, and, you know, and forget that, you know, what it was like when Tony Fuller was here and Fred Trinkle was here and that whole crew, and they were playing in Peterson Gym. And so and this season that's going to be tested a little bit. I mean, look, they're not going to be favored. They're going to play UCSD tomorrow night, and then they're going to play Division III Occidental. And then after that, they're not going to be favored in their next four games. Most likely they won't be favored. And they won't be favored against Cal probably in December. And so that's five of your nine non-conference games you're not favored in. You know, and if they don't win those games, well, they weren't supposed to. Now what are fans going to do?
Right.
And so that to me is going to be, this is going to test it like it really hasn't been tested before. Now, of course, if the Aztecs come out and start winning some of these games and get ranked, well, then everyone will forget about that. But I think this is the season what we're going to see, we're really going to see the true colors of fans.
Mark, it's hard not to be paying close attention to what's happening with the Mountain West and them being able to add more teams to that conference, as you know, some of the big teams that have already decided to head to the Pac-12 made their decision. It seems like the Mountain West has been able to act pretty fast and add new teams. And recently, they add a Grand Canyon to the mix as a team in that Mountain West. Is this as bad as it seems on the outside looking in for the Pac-12, or was this anticipated that the Mountain West would be able to move the way they have?
You know, I don't think anything's anticipated because there's so much uncertainty now. But look, and you make a really good point. As much as the Mountain West might have been caught off guard by the four teams leaving and then the fifth, they have acted very quickly, circled the wagons, figured out what they wanted, and moved and acted on it. And I think they've done a pretty good job. You know, UTEP, given the circumstances, isn't a horrible ad. It's in a big city, a big market, has some tradition, has a big football stadium, provides a natural rival for New Mexico, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not a horrible ad, and they jumped on them very quickly. And then Grand Canyon, I think, is a tremendous ad.
Yeah.
Look, I've seen what they've done with their basketball program. They're controversial because they're not, you know, certain sections of the government still consider them a pro a for-profit enterprise. And that should be troubling for anybody in college athletics, because it allows them to invest maybe in places, particularly in athletics, that other schools are more reluctant to do. And so, you know, what we've seen with their basketball program, it's taken off. I mean, you look at Boise State for all the success they have. They've never won an NCAA tournament game. Grand Canyon has. They beat St. Mary's last year in the first round, and it was impressive, and they deserved it. They beat the Aztecs twice at home. So that's going to be a huge add for their basketball metrics, and really help them in terms of the basketball conference. Maybe not quite as good as the Pac-12 will be with Gonzaga, but really not that far behind. As far as the Pac-12 is concerned, it's going to be interesting to see where they go, unless they can convince, you know, three or four teams from the AAC to jump and join them and really get an Eastern presence. It's going to be difficult for one of those schools to come, because that one school that comes, say it's a Memphis, they're going to have to travel all their athletes west most of the time, whereas the current Pac-12 members will only have to go to Memphis like once or twice. And so that's a huge ask for a mid-major type school to do without the charter resources that some of these big schools have. And so that's my question. I mean, who are you going to get? And I don't think we have the answer yet.
We kidded with Mark off the air that as a Stanford grad, he ought to try to bring the Cardinal back in, but he says he doesn't have the power to do that. Mark, last thing before I go, and I would never want him to leave. I don't want him ever to go. Brian Dutcher, he has been now part of this program for, what is it, 25 years, 30 years?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Is there no end in sight? And if so, you know, I hope that's the case. But, I mean, has he ever even talked about life after the Aztecs?
No, you know, I think he's really happy. I think he's really enjoying. I mean, he went to the national championship in the Sweet 16 in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But like we just talked about, I mean, with the expectations kind of get the better of them, or – you know, NIL, I mean, you just saw what happened with Tony Bennett and saying this isn't the game that I remember coaching. And look, Brian Dutcher falls into that category. When he got into the business and for, you know, pretty much all his career, it was a different game than it is now. He's adjusted, and his best quality is that he has adjusted, whether it's the transfer market, getting transfers in, or the way the game's played, or various rule changes. He's always been able to adjust, as did Steve Fisher. But, I mean, I think there'll come a point where the frustration and age kind of intersect, and you just say, you know what, I've made my money, I enjoyed my time, and I'm going to enjoy the rest of my life. You know, you have grandkids, and his daughters live in town. So that point will come. I don't think it's for probably three or four more years, but it will come. And then we'll move on, and, you know, hopefully it will be Dave Velasquez where we'll replace him, and you'll have another seamless transition, and it'll just keep going forward. But there's so much change in college basketball now. I don't think anybody should take their success for granted. It's getting harder and harder for a program like San Diego State to succeed, and, you know, we'll find out just how hard this year.
Yeah, none of us are in a rush to see Dutch go.
Oh, absolutely
there's
not.
There's no doubt about that. Mark, as always, man, appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us. We'll catch up again soon.
All right, I'll talk to you guys.
Thanks, Mark. I looked it up, looked it up officially. Steve Fisher came here in 1999, so this is the 25th
year. Before I got there.
25th year for Dutcher as either an assistant. And guess how many years now Dutcher's been the head coach this coming year?
Six?
His eighth.
Wow.
Time just flies.
That does fly.
Flying by.
Eighth?
That's crazy. Started in 2017-18. So this is 24-25. That'd be his eighth year.
He didn't even get to finish his second season, which might have been the best of all.
No kidding. Remind us.
It was San Diego that had that.
Yeah, I know. The 5 o'clock football hour presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. Visit Buffalo Wild Wings every Tuesday for buy one, get one half off. Traditional wings. I think that's going to
Chronicles
pretty much wrap it for us. Get you ready for old Scrabe on the Chronicles. I think we used everything you could possibly use.
good luck
with that.
Well, at the end of the show, I usually do like random stories and then the daily gripe. I have a random story. Fireball is going the alcohol is going to make a whiskey called Cryerball. And they're literally going to take tears from people who their team lost and put it into the whiskey. It's a gimmick, but I'm going to explain it. That's what they told me.
Big gimmick.
That's what the article told me. People.com.
Crier Ball.
Can't wait to listen to that on the Chronicles.
Sounds like something you could be a good spokesperson for.
A Crier Ball?
We're back tomorrow.
Okay, fine. An hour of me just bashing Patrick Mahomes.
That could happen as well.
Very much in line with the Chronicles.
Stay tuned to find out where he goes with the Chronicles. For Gwen and Chris, we'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Peace out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.